What's up, y'all? This is Brandon. I'm part of the San Francisco Student Life team. I am the Milestone Event Production Manager with Minerva. But aside from that, I am a poet. I am an MC. I've been an educator for about 10 years. And I am the sole SF native on the SF team.
That's Brandon, who's technically the Milestone Event Production Manager, but he's so much more than that. And this week, we're going to dive into a story on humans of Minerva.
Hopeless how I'm feeling as of right now. So many lights and thick fog. I need that plot to launch off. Too much karma. Slick smart. Slip tight rope. Blue sky quote. Heavy insightful with a wise dome and mouth.
Welcome to Humans of Minerva, a podcast about the stories behind the people at Minerva. I'm Leo, and today I'm here with Brandon. The regular listeners might actually notice that the music playing is a little different than usual. And that's actually because this song is by Brandon's. This is called Math.
Yep.
And it's off your album called
Alone Arrival. Yeah, that's the first album I put together back in 2019. At that point, I had been making music for about 5 years, and my mentor was like, AOB, you've been making music for 5 years, you know, what do you got to show for it? And she was right, and I was like, you're right, let me put something together. So at that point, I had a bunch of songs, and I started to like weave a thread between them and like make the album kind of come together like that.
What would you say is like the thread for this album?
Yeah, the story is kind of, so the title is Alone Arrival, and it's three words, right? So it's Alone Arrival, not alone like I'm sitting alone in my room, but Alone Arrival. And the kind of concept behind it is that like it's the beginning of a journey. When we are born, it's just us. We come in and we're like this new soul into the world, right? And then once our time comes, it's the same thing. Like we may have our family around us being there with us towards our transition, but we leave by ourselves. We come in by ourselves and we leave by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so the concept, I think, or I guess the string or the web, the woven narrative is kind of just like stories of life. So there's a couple songs that are like dream sequence type, and then it kind of like kicks into reality, and then there's like some very real songs about like world finances and love and just like feeling. I think people oftentimes, like at least me as well, have those moments where we don't feel like we are doing all that we can. And so there's a couple stories of that in there too. And then at the end, it kind of wraps up with a reminder that like, nah, you got this, you know, as long as you're on your path or you feel like you're on your path, you know, you'll always have direction and you'll always have like the power to do what you're doing. Even, you know, there's times when we lose, but if you're on your path, it's still a win. You know what I mean? You take a lesson from it and you move forward with that new knowledge.
Yeah. So is it like you should listen to it front to end in order?
Yes. So I'm old school like that, man. I love albums that like either are a full story or that each song plays off the last. So if you listen to it, it's on all major streaming platforms. Again, Alone Arrival, I rap as Donatello. And yeah, it's definitely a start to finish thing. Like the best way to put it is like it's like the birth sequence. You come into the world and then you're in a dream and then you're back to reality and then life is happening. That's kind of the way I structured it. Yeah.
Mm. Well, so you only have the one album out right now.
Right now, just the one. There is like I don't even know if it's still up on SoundCloud. It probably is. But I guess this would technically be my first project. I put a very small EP out. It was only 4 songs. And the title of that was 4N4 equal sign build. There was a point in my college life where I was like very into numerology and like divine mathematics and the whole philosophy around that. And 4 is a number that represents, I believe it's freedom, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, freedom. Yeah, 4 is freedom. And so when you add freedom and freedom, you get an 8, and 8 is a number that represents a building. Multiple meanings to it, like a physical building, the act of building, or just like to build. And so that project was really just like, here's 4 quick songs of me building myself up. Mm. And they were, oh God, like the recordings of them were so like, if I go back and listen to them, I'm just like, oh, it sounded so terrible. But it was, like I said, it was early on. And it was like, I think every artist has that where like, you have to find your voice and then get comfortable with the voice that you have found. And then eventually it'll grow and you'll be able to do different things with it. it's an instrument, you know. You practice it, you learn how to do new things, just like if you were playing the piano, right? You learn the basic keys, and then you learn how to manipulate the keys in a way that is you, you know?
Yeah.
Same with your voice. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I'm curious what music means to you and to be able to produce like this. And
I've always loved music. I can remember being like a kid with my cousins, and we used to always like make a band. But like we never knew how to play instruments. We were never taught. We never learned. We never had classes like that. So like we would just gather a bunch of things and, okay, here are the drums. Or we would get like a, you know, rubber bands and tie them to a to a tissue box. And there's your guitar. And then the most fun part of that for me and for my cousin was writing the songs. Less about the instruments, but more about writing the songs. I've always loved writing. And I think before I'm an MC or a rapper, I'm a poet beforehand. Like all my lyrics, I think, or I like to say all my lyrics feel very potent and feel kind of like more spiritually inclined than like your typical, you know, Poppy Drake song.
Right. It's more about the words than the sounds.
Yeah. They accompany each other in at least when I make music, I try to make sure that the beats accompany what I'm talking about versus like having a very, you know, upbeat or poppy song, but like all the lyrics are talking about how depressing the world is, you know?
Yeah.
But sometimes those types of contrasts work. But I guess going back to the main question of what music means to me, I've always loved music. I've always wanted to engage with music. And I think now that I'm like actively creating, I think for me, music is just a place to be not just creative, but like critical. And my biggest thing, whether it's with poetry or music or even with some of the work I do at Minerva and just the work I've done over the past like, you know, 10 years, is like connecting. Like I want to be able to like have someone hear what I said and be like, I feel that, or I get that. And while my story and everyone else's story are vastly different because we're all unique and different in a lot of different ways, there's things that we all kind of go through and things that we all kind of think about that we can relate with each other to. And so for me, it's a way to connect. It's a way to express myself. And ultimately, at the end of the day, it's just fun to do. There's a side of me that comes out only when I'm creating. And again, it's either a poem or music, but like, I'll be like pacing back and forth in the house, having the beat play, and I'm writing in a notebook or writing on my phone. And I'm like, no, that's whack. And then I restart everything and then delete the past couple lines. And then if I find what feels good or feels better or sounds better, like I start bouncing around like a little kid. I'm like, yes, that works. Yeah. That works. For me, like the process is just, it's fun. And it's a chance for me to be, again, like expressive, critical, creative, and like innocent again, almost, you know? There's no better feeling for me sometimes than like writing one line and then writing something that makes like just follows up after it perfectly.
I mean, that's like the flow state. That's like, I feel it.
Exactly.
Feel it so much.
Yeah, the flow state. I miss it. I if I'm being honest, I haven't been working on music a lot lately. I could say an excuse that I'm just busy with regular work and stuff like that. But it's about discipline. I forget who said it, but there's a writer who once said, like, butchering the quote too, but he said something along the lines of like, writers only write when they're feeling inspired. So I make sure I'm inspired every morning at 9 a.m. It's structuring the time to create can sometimes feel tedious, but it's that repetition. You'll write 100 terrible songs or 100 bad poems before you write one that's really good.
Yeah.
But it's a discipline in the practice of doing it over and over and over and just making the time to do it versus like, oh, I'm walking in a new city and I saw something and I'm inspired now and I'm going to write for 30 minutes and then boom, it's done. Like, no, you need to edit that. It's going to need more work. So creating that discipline, routine, and structure around it is actually very beneficial.
Yeah. You have some like prep questions that you filled out one of them.
Yeah.
It's like a pie chart of how you would want to spend your time. And you put like, for a whole week, you would have like 9% of your time, 15 hours out of a whole week. You said music, writing, recording, building business.
Yes.
So like, I was just curious, like, what does building business mean in that part?
So building business in this sense means a couple things. I guess a little bit of context. Back in 2019, I was working with a nonprofit called The Future Project. They were doing amazing work, but it didn't last. And a lot of people lost their jobs. And once that happened, I had learned a bunch of skills to that point. So I had learned how to produce events. I had learned how to facilitate, run like extensive workshops that span weeks at a time. And so at the time, I took a little bit of time off from work. And when I was coming back, I was ready to build out a business of myself, being like a freelance independent contractor who can produce your events, who can lead a 4-week writing workshop with your students, or who can like lead a like in-depth, like not self-help type of workshop, but like a let's dive into ourselves type of workshop that spans X amount of weeks for like staff and faculty and stuff like that. In the modern day, building business for me means I have a goal to eventually build my own production company that doubles as like events but also arts production. The big goal is that like there will be one factor that focuses on events and then one factor that focuses on the arts, and the arts I want to specify in are like writing, so publishing, and then obviously like music production. And so though I'm not like a beat maker or like an engineer, while I'm not a skilled engineer, I know the basics, but while I'm not a skilled engineer, like I want to be able to like build a team and build a business where I can hire people who are good at this. And then we are helping, you know, local artists with their work, or helping local writers get their stuff published, or, you know, doing all types of events from like corporate parties to like graduations or even weddings. Weddings is something I wanted to I want to dip into. But that's the business building. In an ideal world, I would give about 15 hours a week to this, right? And you know, maybe 5 of that is like creating, and then the other 10 is like business model, planning, making connections and stuff like that. Glamorous life of being your own boss is where I want to end up, but it's tough. It is tough, yeah.
I know you mentioned that you want to like produce for local artists, for local companies. And so I want to go to where you grew up, which is, I think, primarily in the Mission in San Francisco, but you bounced around a bit too, right?
Yes. So like I said earlier, I'm the sole SF native on the team. It's a big responsibility. No.
You are SF.
Yes, I am SF for my team and for the students in there. But yeah, growing up in the Mission was beautiful, man. I mean, it was beautiful, but it was also a bit scary. At the time when I was little, like, gangs were very present in the Mission. It was either red or blue. You know, you chose a side. And if you were often out in the streets playing, it wouldn't be uncommon for you to either be checked, which is just like a gangster coming up to you and being like, hey, yo, where are you from? I think that culture isn't as intense now. But growing up, my parents tried their best to like keep me sheltered, keep me indoors, you know, whatever video game I wanted, they'd get it, anything to like avoid me being out running around and potentially getting into stuff like that. But what I loved most about the Mission, man, was just like, one, San Francisco being small, it's very central, you're close to everything. Two, just the food and the people. While I didn't grow up speaking Spanish in my household, like just being around it in the Mission felt like home, because my mom's side of the family only spoke Spanish to each other. The Mission just has always felt like home, and it's just got so much beautiful like art on the walls. It's got parks everywhere. There's always been a homeless problem in San Francisco, and just it's only gotten worse. And that's kind of like the dark underbelly that, you know, people don't realize about the city, or that they try to sweep under the rug. But yeah, growing up in the Mission was beautiful, and just growing up in San Francisco itself was awesome, because even though it's in the Mission District, which was, you know, predominantly Latino or Latin, you'd go to school and you'd be with people from all over the city. So you'd be in school in classes with African-American students, Chinese-American students, Samoan students, yeah, all types of cultures and ethnicities really present in the city. And I think growing up there, that's one thing that I've like appreciated, just being able to see different cultures, experience different cultures, and of course eat the food. It's one of the few cities where like on one block you can get like pupusas and tamales and stuff like that, and then you go two blocks up and you can get like a banh mi. Yeah, it's an awesome place. I love it. It's always home. It's always gonna be home.
SF's crazy multicultural. I think your heritage is also pretty unique too.
I mean, by default, I am American. I'm an American citizen. I was born in America. But my family roots stretch to El Salvador, Mexico, and Ireland. My mom and her family, they came to the U.S. when she was 9. They were fleeing, like, civil war in El Salvador at the time. My abuelo, who I never got to meet, he came before they did and was, like, sending money back and getting them ready to come. It was a lot easier in those days to, like, legally immigrate into the U.S., whereas now it's a bit of a nightmare. And then my father, his family is Mexican-Irish. And there's probably other European descent, but Irish is the one that is like most prevalent. But my father is also a San Francisco native, so he grew up there. Maybe one of these days I'll do like a DNA swab and figure out where exactly I come from. But until then, I'm sticking with the three I know: Salvadorian, Mexican, Irish, / American. Yeah. Well, I've only ever been to one of those three homelands. I've been to Mexico once, and it was beautiful. I did not want to go back home. Just the pace of life was smooth and beautiful. Like, people were up at 4 a.m. and working by 5, but they were done by 2 or 3. And then the rest of the day was just a party. Everyone's just chilling in their front lawns, sipping beers, and someone's cooking something. But I'm actually, for the first time, going to visit El Salvador in January. And I couldn't be more excited for that. It's going to be amazing.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah, and then eventually I'll make my way to Ireland too. Shout out Mikey on the creative team. When I come out there, I already know he's going to be a great host and show me around. Yeah.
That's so cool. Just before this, being from San Francisco, and... Well, I think I'm curious about that for both the mission and for the city as a whole, and how that sort of contrasts with what, like, my perception of it might be, or the Richmond Irvins.
San Francisco in general is such a unique place. Like, the mixture of cultures present is beautiful. But weirdly enough, even today, the city is still kind of segregated in terms of where people live. So the Mission District, before it was predominantly Latino, it was actually like Italian. Bayview, Hunters Point is still very predominantly like African American. Sunset and the Richmond districts are still very dominantly Asian. Knob Hill or the Marina is still very white. And then Excelsior is kind of like the area where everyone kind of comes together. It's closer to Daly City, so you'll find a lot more Filipino people, but you'll also find a lot of Latin people and a lot of just everything there. A lot of people think San Francisco and they immediately think big tech money, big tech companies. They think very like progressive, like laws and like liberal ideals, which exist. But I think going back to something I said earlier about the dark underbelly, right? Homelessness is ridiculous in San Francisco. I grew up not too far across from a General Hospital. And I can remember, you know, walking 3 or 4 blocks to the McDonald's and just like along the way seeing tons of people on the street, either strung out on some types of drugs or just like hungry digging through trash cans. And I think that has only gotten worse. As the city continues to grow and get more money, for whatever reason, that continues to get worse. And then I think kind of like, again, to the point of the segregation, like a lot of people don't see that. They see people when they're out and they're like, oh man, there's so many different people here. But at the same time, like, everyone's still kind of divided. And I think that's not just true of San Francisco, but I think just the US in general. There's a lot of beautiful mixing around the US, but you go too far to the left or too far to the right and or too far north or south, like, it switches up. And even though there's like this, maybe not mask, but like curtain of like the beautiful skyline and the sunsets and all the good stuff, like, you pull a curtain back and then there's the homelessness problem, the drug addiction problem, the segregation, or systemically embedded like racism and bigotry. Like, it's sad that it still exists. And I mean, like, I think that's one of the perceptions that I don't think a lot of people see. And I hear that often from a lot of like incoming Minervans. They're like, I thought San Francisco was just everyone's balling out. And I'm like, no. There are a lot of people who are working in the city or working 2 or 3 jobs to be able to afford to live in the city. Or they work 2 jobs and they live outside of the city because it's cheaper.
Right.
Or because they've been pushed out. I think something a lot of people don't realize or don't know or aren't aware about is when tech first started to really come into San Francisco, building owners or homeowners started to evict unlawfully because now you have this new population of people coming in who are making really good tech money. And they're like, oh, I have this family of 4 who's been paying me $1,000 for the past 20 years. This guy can afford one of their rooms for $3,000. Like, let me get them out of there and let me put this guy in. And then they rent out all those rooms for the same price. And that's where a lot of that displacement comes from. And then me, myself, I don't live in the city anymore. I live about 45 miles northeast in Antioch. The BART goes out there now. And the BART is like semi-equivalent of like a New York subway system, but a little more like streamlined and not like restricted to the city. A lot of my friends have also been pushed out just because it gets expensive. And that's a side of the city that I think people should probably look into more. I don't know if you've seen that movie, Last Black Man in San Francisco. No. It's a really good movie. There's a moment where the guy is on the bus and he's listening to these two people who aren't from the city, but they're living there, and they're talking about how they're tired of the city. It sucks. It's falling apart. This, that, and the third. And they're like, oh, we hate it here. And then he interrupts them and he's like, you can't say that. You can't say you hate San Francisco unless you can say that you love it first. I think for San Francisco natives, that movie, one, was just awesome. But that line resonates very well. Like, we love the city. We love our home. We love what it represents, the culture that it comes with, but we hate what it's becoming and what it has become.
That's really cool. I mean, and I love that you're on the student life team and able to bring that perspective, kind of go out and explore the city, but a lot of these rich, very nuanced historical things that have happened, you don't get to see without, or they're much harder to see without someone like you.
Without the local perspective, yeah. Most of all the other city teams are like, it's people from those areas, or maybe not that city directly, but they grew up near or around it. I'm pretty sure most of the BA team is either from here proper or have lived here for a large chunk of time.
Bullets make a brain door, bullet holes make the brain flow. Rainbow that I see when the rain go hard in the sanctuary space though. Home base starting to fade slow. It was slow before the golden red left. Gone from the stick, light a candle for that shit. Neighborhoods losing kids, gaining babies with entitled attitudes. It's kind of crazy how these politicians brood schemes to bring their dreams to reality.
You mentioned you worked at a nonprofit, but somehow you made it to Minerva.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, what does like being at Minerva mean to you? I guess also, how did you get here? And
let's start with getting here. First of all, I'm in BA, which is amazing. Shout out to Minerva for sending me out here. I love the city, man. I fly back home tonight and I don't want to. So getting to Minerva, yeah, I started grad school in 2014. And I never thought I was going to go to grad school. I honestly didn't even think I was going to go to college in general, but that's another story. But so in 2014, I got an email from a professor that was like, hey, this organization called the Future Project is looking for people to work with high school students around like passion and purpose and stuff like that. And it sounded sweet, and I was like, yeah, this could be fun. They were working in my old high school, so I was like, oh, this would be awesome if I can like go back to my old high school and like create some change. They ended up not putting me in my high school, which is fine, but I'm glad they didn't, because that's when I met my mentor, Ashley. And I was with the Future Project from 2014 to 2019. The first couple years, I was just an intern or like a contracted worker. My third year, I was like full-time interim while someone was on maternity leave. And then my fourth and fifth years with them, I was like a full-time employee. Mm. My title used to be Dream Director, which is an amazing title. Yeah. And what we did was coaching and culture change within schools. We would coach students and staff and faculty around whatever they needed coaching on. With students, it was life and project-based. We would create teams of students who wanted to change the culture of the school or introduce new things to the school. And eventually I became embedded in the schools I was in, like in the already existing systems. So I was working with student governments and with other clubs that already existed as through the umbrella of the Future Project, but like enhancing what was already there and bringing in new things. So that's really when I started to like do, you know, bigger high school events like proms and graduations and rallies and carnivals and stuff like that. And on top of that, I was also doing just like the individual coaching or running workshops around music and poetry, more like life in general. And then in 2019, yeah, I lost my job there. A lot of us did. It was, again, as a nonprofit, it's hard to stay afloat. When you're growing so fast, you need to make sure that your finances are moving in the same direction. And it got tricky, is the best way I could say it. But a lot of us ended up losing our jobs. The principal of the school I was in wanted to keep me on. She was like, hey, I got a job for you if you want it. But I used this as an opportunity to be like, well, let me step away from education for a bit. At that point, I had been doing it for about 5 years. I took some time off. I ended up working at the airport for a while, which was fun because I got to travel for free. I didn't stay there very long because I went from making, you know, like decent nonprofit money to making like minimum wage. So my bills were piling up. I was, you know, racking up credit card debt. And so I ended up back in the high school I was at with a different nonprofit. Now my focus was events, student government, and after school arts programming. Those were like my three main brackets. I joined that organization in January of 2020. And then 3 months later, March, COVID hits. Yeah. And we were building up towards a show that we were gonna, it was like, it's called International Night. It was an international high school. But International Night was supposed to be like a cultural showcase, a musical showcase, art showcase, all the things. So I was working with the students on like performances and just like the overall planning of the event. It was supposed to happen after our week-long spring break. And that Friday before spring break, everyone was like, okay, yeah, no, everyone needs to go home. Hopefully this blows over in a week. And then next thing we know, we were doing virtual learning for a year and some change. But yeah, I was with them through the virtual world. And then once we came back to in-person, but then in the summer of 2022, I was working the summer program, which I love summer programs. They're so fun. It's like field trips every week. You teach, you know, fun, random classes.
Yeah.
Like I was teaching a fitness class and I was teaching like a class on like photography and stuff like that. But so in the summer of 22, I knew that like I was ready to be done with that school. So ironically, towards the end of summer, my friend Mateo, who also works with Minerva, he's on CTD. Shout out Mateo.
He's here too.
He's here in BA too. He's probably a couple floors below us. But yeah, Mateo reached out to me because he knew I was looking for a new job. He's like, hey, Minerva's looking for an events producer. You know, read the description. It's everything you know how to do. If you apply, let me know. I'll put in a good word. So I applied. I didn't let him know. I just kind of went through the interview process. And then once I got offered the job and then I accepted, I called him and I was like, hey, Mateo, we're going to be coworkers again. And so that's getting here. And initially, when I joined Minerva, I thought that I was going to just focus on events and be less student facing and just being like in the background, planning the things, making them happen. That was not the case. One thing that happened right away was I also got handed student initiatives and the legacy program. A legacy program made perfect sense because it should be embedded in the milestone events. The SIs was just like, I don't know, it makes sense to be with me because I had the experience of it, right? It's very similar to like student leadership and student government stuff I used to do in the high schools, right? Mm-hmm. Once I started like doing work at Minerva and operating the SI program and learning about the legacy program, I was actually very grateful to not just be focusing on events because I would have forgotten who I'm doing these events for in the first place, you know what I mean? In any capacity of working in an educational institution, unless you're just like completely removed and administrative doing things on the back end, like there has to be some connection with the students, even if it's minimal. I'm now grateful that I was given those things because it reminds me why I'm doing these events and who I'm putting them on for. Plus, Minervan students are just like intensely awesome in so many different ways. There's like so much like ambition and want to do. Like, I don't think I've ever met a Minervan who is just like extremely lazy and doesn't want to do anything, you know? I think most of the Minervans are quite the opposite. They're doing too much.
Yeah.
It's balance, y'all. Balance. Self-care is important. But that ambition is very admirable and awesome to see. It's crazy to think sometimes that like after this academic year, I will have been working in education for about 10 years. Pretty much all of my 20s have been spent in some capacity working in education. And it's taught me a lot. It's helped me grow in a lot of different ways as well. I'm grateful to have a job that like allows me to like leave the country and connect with the students in different spaces.
Yeah.
And challenges me to do more intricate and higher budgeted and very like unique events. I think one of the reasons I really wanted to get out of the high schools I was working in is because I had felt like I had plateaued. I was like rinse and repeating a lot of my programming and stuff like that. And so now it's like learning the new stuff at Minerva and now innovating the stuff after I've been here for a year. And how do I make it different? How do I make it better from before? Those are the type of challenges I like.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like you want to be challenged with what you do and like it shouldn't be static.
Exactly. It needs to be growth, needs to be learning. And then just the challenge aspect, like throw me a curveball every now and then, throw me a knuckle, throw me a changeup, you know, like give me something that like I have to figure out how I'm going to make it happen, you know,
because you don't want it to be easy.
Exactly. There are some things that like I would love that life just made easier. But I think, you know, struggle and hardship creates resilience and creates strength. So There's another quote that I'll probably butcher, but it's something along the lines of like, don't ask for an easy life, you know, ask for the strength to get through something difficult or something along those lines. I'm terrible at remembering quotes. But yeah, I think that's it's very true.
You know? Yeah. Well, like, what do you see for yourself being at Minerva? Do you think you'll, you know, get the tasks you have at Minerva will become rinse and repeat at some point? And
yeah, I think it's actually a good question. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Minerva is a very interesting university in the way it's structured, right? Like, there's no campus, there's no one central hub. I've been thinking lately, like, what could it look like to be the milestone event production manager, not just for San Francisco, but for every rotation city?
Mm.
And thinking about, like, Friendsgiving in Quinquatria, for example, right? There are very specific elements to each of those that will be consistent no matter where you are, right? Things that will change will be, like, the culture, the themes, students, obviously, and the venues. Stuff like that will constantly change. But there are values and actual elements to the events that stay the same throughout. Like Quinquatria, always got to have flowers. You know what I'm saying? You always got to have the flower crowns. Always going to have student performances. Always going to have student hosts.
Right.
Friendsgiving, same thing. Student performances, student hosts. And in some places still, you'll have like a student team who's cooking the food. That was the original idea with Friendsgiving, from what I learned. So I've been thinking lately, like, what would it look like to be a remote event producer who maybe isn't directly in charge of all of the events in the city?
That would be a lot.
But it's more so, I don't want to say like the overseer, but like the, not even the puppeteer, but like just the manager of the events across the cities, and like working very specifically with like one person on the ground on the student life team, and then obviously like a group of students to help produce. Creating that uniformity in the events while also still allowing the space for them to be unique. Something I think about often with the SI ecosystem and the legacy program is like, those are both very easily remote work, building it out. And then again, kind of like having the point people in the different cities that are operating those things in the city that either like report back or work in collaboration with me. So I have been thinking about how to like become obsolete for my job. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do I build a system or build a structure that replaces the need for me to exist in the city, but things will still happen the same way? Maybe it's impossible with event production. I don't know. But I have been thinking about that because I'm like, I would love to work with Minerva for some more time. And thinking about how like there are professors who live all over the world and their schedules are probably like a little wonky because like they're teaching classes at random times to like fit the student schedules. But thinking about like, what would it look like for me to like, yeah, maybe live remote in BA or live remote somewhere in the US, but still doing the things I'm doing at Minerva. Mm-hmm. And so that's where this idea of like, how do I erase the event producer, still make the events happen, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it's impossible, who knows? Maybe I'm too bold and ambitious for that, but I think I'm smart enough to figure it out.
It sounds like a great challenge.
Exactly.
So much fun to try to figure out. So like with where you are now, what do you think has been one of the most important pivotal moments in your life that's sort of got you here?
Probably the decision to go to grad school, because that's when a lot of different stuff started to happen for me. So in maybe like 2013 or maybe 2012, I can't fully remember when it happened, but I was in class. It was a Latin studies writing workshop. Okay. And I walk into the class and I immediately see a friend who I made at a community college. And I'm like, yo, you made it to state. You're here. Like, you made it. And he's like, yeah, man. And we start talking. And as we're talking, somebody else walks into the room and I look up and it was my high school literature teacher. I was like, Mr. T, what are you doing here? And he was like the chillest dude, man. He had a long ponytail, Mexican cat. He looks at me, he's like, oh, hey, what's up, man? Yeah, I'm a TA for this class. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, I'm getting my master's degree here. And I was like, that's just wild. In this one class, I reconnected with someone who I met at a community college, and my high school literature teacher is also a TA for it. And so one day after class, me and him are on the train, and he's asking me what's next.
You're the friend or the
high school teacher? My high school teacher, mm-hmm. Yeah, Mr. Tavares. Shout out, Mr. Tavares. Such a quirky dude. He's awesome. He was asking me on the train. He was like, well, what are you going to do next? You're close to graduation, aren't you? And I was like, yeah, I don't know. Find a job. Isn't that what's next in line of like life? You know, You go to college, you come out, you get a job. He's like, I mean, that's an option. He's like, have you thought about grad school? And I was like, Mr. T, I didn't even think I was going to go to college in general. I don't think about grad school. He's like, well, why not, man? Like, the way you're moving, you know, this was the selling point to me. It's for like, maybe egotistical reasons. But he was like, it'll give you more time to focus on your writing. And the way you're moving, you know, You'll have a graduate degree before you're even 25 years old. And I thought about that for a second. I'm like, that would be cool to say. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I had a graduate degree before I was 25. Like, come at me. And, you know, he sold me. I was like, you know what? You might be right. Maybe I'll look into it. So I looked into it. Then I started grad school in 2014. And that's also when I got introduced to the Future Project. So ironically, a lot of the big major turning points in my life coincide with heartbreak. I don't know why. Summer of 2014, me and one of my ex-girlfriends had broken up. I was devastated. And so I was just trying to stay as busy as possible, to not think about anything. So in a graduate program, 9 units is usually like a full-time load. I was taking 15. I was also working about 30 hours a week. I was also commuting from the East Bay. And then an old professor reached out and was like, hey, this organization is looking for people to work with high school kids around passion and purpose. And that was the Future Project.
Right.
And so I was like, yeah, let me sign up for that too. And so I was doing that for about 10 hours a week at first, right?
I think you have like a 200-hour week or something.
You know, yeah, at one point it was too much and I was tired. But what I loved about studying creative writing in college is that my homework and my assignments never felt tedious. Mm-hmm. It felt fun. Like, I would have an assignment. I had this one professor who was teaching writing, but he didn't teach writing through a writing perspective. He was teaching it through a visual arts perspective because he had stopped writing himself and he was now a visual artist. So every week in that class, we would watch like a 30-minute documentary about like a different visual artist and their techniques that they would use. And then we would try to take those techniques that they're using in the visual art world and apply it to the writing we were doing.
Whoa.
And so I loved the creative challenge of being a creative writing major. It was awesome. So while it was a lot of time in class and like working on writing, it never felt like it was school, but it never felt tedious or like stressful or like too much work. You know what I'm saying? And then at the time, once I started working in the high schools and doing all the things there, I got to bring my love for writing to the students and run workshops with them and learn how to facilitate and learn how to put on events and learn how to like help students grow while I was growing myself. And the reason 2014 felt so pivotal for me is because, one, I got introduced to working in education. And even though for some time now I've been trying to get away from it, I'm always pulled back. I'm always pulled back and I always end up being reminded of why I love the work I do. And it introduced me, 2014 introduced me to my mentor, Ashley. Shout out Ashley, she is the gratitude guru. And she just changed my life. And so like, it's sometimes hard to remember what I was like before meeting her. She really put me on like a spiritual path with everything I do. I remember back in 2019, like I was telling you, I was now unemployed because I had lost my job. I was like, well, maybe I'll just, you know, work at a bar and it's a bar back and, you know, make decent money and get some tips for a while. I remember having a conversation with her and she was like, Brandon, you can't do that. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, first of all, it's too loud. You're a quiet spirit. You would freak out every single day being in a bar and trying to work and focus. And she's very critical. She's also like, plus, come on, you're like working in a place that's selling poison to everybody. I was like, okay, Ashley, you're taking it a little too far, but I get where you're coming from. No, meeting Ashley was just a huge turning point for me. Like, not just in my own like views of the world and views around like gratitude and like grounding and how I move with the things I do, but also just like connectivity. I think working with her like even just continuing to be connected with her after we were working together. The amount of dope people I've met through her has been like awesome. And also introducing her to some of like my community. I was introduced to like a whole new world of people, rather like a whole new caliber of people. And also just like a whole new world of like work and like what work can mean and what work can look like, specifically as like an educator and creator.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. Also, Ashley is a Sagittarius like me, and she's also an SF native. So like, it was like destined that some way, shape or form we would connect. And she's a bit older than me. And I think I've always loved having friends who are older because it's an experience share. It's a knowledge share, right? I get to learn from them, and they may have made mistakes or they may have gone through things that they can now tell me about so I could avoid. And then I can then pass that on to like the students or the younger people that I work with or connect with. Yeah.
Yeah. Moving forwards, I really like that. Make yourself obsolete in the role that you do. Are there other things you've been like really thinking about or wanting to explore more? Just like want to dive back into?
Music, creation, whether it's poetry, whether it's music, whether it's performing, I really miss it. I really miss creation. I really miss, you know, working for like 2 hours on a song. And then like after the time, I'm like, no, this verse is terrible. And then cutting half of it and then starting again the next day. Like I miss that. There's a beautiful chaos that comes together when you're working on something creative.
By the way, do you produce your own beats too?
So I don't produce my own beats. No, that's a skill that like I've always said I wanted to learn, but I've just never made the time to. Being in the Bay Area, there's like so many creatives, so many people doing music, so many people doing poetry, so many people doing art, and the community in the Bay Area is very strong around that. I used to be a lot more involved with it. Around the time I started doing grad school, I kind of just like started to self-isolate a lot, which wasn't good. I kind of lost connection with a lot of that artistic community. So that's something I would love to dive back into. Connect with the people who like supported me in my early days, who like helped me learn different styles or helped me, you know, gain confidence in my own voice and in my own skill. But I think on top of that, like something that I look forward to, I've always wanted to, in more recent years, I've had this big goal and ambition and dream of building out my own production company. And it would double as like events production and also like arts production. And on the art side, it would be specifically like music and like poetry or theater, like publishing specifically for like books and poetry and stuff like that. And on the event side, it would be like events around the art stuff that I'm doing, or events for corporate companies, or going, you know, cultural events, doing events for schools and stuff like that. Maybe even weddings. I've thought about dipping into weddings. Wedding planning can be very lucrative, especially in the Bay Area. But yeah, I think about that often and want to be able to kind of like how the time breakdown that we were talking about earlier, like in an ideal world, I would have this much time dedicated to like building that out and working towards making that an actual thing. Yeah, I think those are some things I look ahead towards and I think about often, I think. And then something else I think about often is like just packing up and leaving. I think that's been in my head a lot more since coming to Minerva, because it's everything student, that's what y'all do all the time.
Yeah.
You know? You pack up, you go to a new city, you're there for 4 months, you pack up, you go to a new place. And like, there's just that, or maybe it's the Sagittarius in me, maybe it's the like globe-trotting wanderlust ideals that I hold. But like, I would love to just like pack up and go live somewhere for like X amount of months at a time and, you know, find my way around, learn the culture of wherever I end up, kind of like embed myself in it and do the work I can do in that place, you know?
You have a destination in mind?
Oh, there's so many. If I'm thinking within the US, I would love to live in New York. I would love to live in Atlanta. I thought about living in Seattle. I had a job offer up there once, and I decided not to take it because it was too similar of what I was doing already. And if I was to live outside of the U.S., Mexico, maybe somewhere in South America. I mean, now that I've been in BA for like a week, I'm like, yo, I would love to live here. Yeah. I would love to live in Japan. I think one easy job I can do living in Japan would be teaching English. Like,
yeah.
Technically, I'm a creative writing major, but like the umbrella is English. So I'm like, my degrees are in English with the focus in creative writing. So I have the credentials for it. I have the educational experience for it. I think those are definitely some of the top places I would live. Maybe even like Denver. I know some people there, know some people who have visited and they love it.
Yeah.
Growing up in the Bay, we didn't get seasons, so it'd be nice to like go somewhere that has snow. You know what I'm saying?
Seasons are amazing.
Yes.
I love seasons.
No, you don't get them in San Francisco. You get cold and fog, and then you get, you know, a sort of springtime with a lot of fog, and then you get summertime, which is still very foggy.
But it's in like September, which is
the second summer, yeah. Because like actual summertime in San Francisco, you'll have some days that are really nice, but for the most part, it's relatively chill and foggy.
And sometimes it's like just gray outside.
Yeah, and it's like, yo, it's the middle of July. Why is it gray?
Yeah.
But then come, like late August or September, October, we usually get like a week or two of just like intense heat. And like for people in San Francisco, 70 to 80 degrees becomes unbearable because they're one, they're just not used to it. And two, nobody has air conditioning because we never need it. But yeah, I think those are some of the things I think about a lot and I want to like dive into or take that challenge. You know what I mean? Like it's challenging on y'all to pack up every 4 months and go to a new city and then ground yourself and then uproot again. But I think it's a challenge I would love to try.
I know when you're going to be in a place for like a year or two, completely changes how you interact with it versus
exactly
there for a week, for 4 months or whatever.
Exactly. Like, yeah, if I was going to go to live somewhere for like, I don't know, 6 months. All right, month one, figure out where everything is, figure out how to move around. Month two, find community. Month three, solidify those relationships. And then the rest is just life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You can structure it out. You can structure it out and figure out how, like you said, how you want to engage with it based on how long you know you will be there.
Cool. We'll move on to fast fire round of questions, but.
Nice. Fast fire, here we go. Not the movie.
Word or sentence. Some artists that have really influenced you musically. Mm-hmm. I think both music, but I guess also poetry and other art that you've done.
Yeah. Poetry, immediately I think of Pablo Neruda, Saul Williams. Saul Williams, I think, was the first poet who I read and listened to that made me realize that poetry and hip hop and rap are just one and the same. The only difference is you're on a schedule, you're on a beat, you're on a timed thing. Musical influences. I always admired my cousin who's been making music far longer than I have. Yeah. I always admired just like his drive and his dedication and his evolution. MCs that I've always looked up to, Tupac, Method Man, and Mos Def. Also like newer wave, Kendrick and Cole are both phenomenal lyricists. Childish Gambino, yes. When he first came out, he was so unorthodox. And I was so sad at his last album, Awaken My Love. I was listening to it. I'm like, okay, this is cool. But every song that kept going, I was like, when is he going to rap? And then the album finished and I was like, okay, so it's not a rap album. Let me listen to it again. And then I listened to it again and I was able to appreciate it for what it was. It was like a funk album.
Right.
It was awesome. But I think those are some of the like major artists and poets who have influenced me. Neruda, because he was just so romantic with his words. And then Saul Williams, because he wasn't rapping on a beat, but his poetry was rhythmic. And others that I listed, just their content, the potency of their lyrics, and the passion that they brought into it all, yeah.
Mm. You mentioned food earlier being a reason you love exploring cultures. Like, what are your favorite foods?
Favorite foods? Pupusas. If you don't know what pupusas are, they are a Salvadorian cuisine. They are like masa dough, and inside of them is like cheese and beans and pork. You can put whatever you want inside them, but typically cheese and beans are like the base. Then you top it off with I've seen it described as like a coleslaw. It's not a coleslaw. It's called curtido. It's like cabbage and vinegar and carrots, kind of like chopped up and mixed together, and you put that on top of them. And then, of course, like some salsa. Aside from pupusas, yuca frita, delicious, much better than french fries. I also love french fries and potatoes in all forms. Love sushi. Used to hate it as a kid, but absolutely love sushi. What else? If I'm thinking just like quick foods, pizza. You can never go wrong with pizza, though. Yeah. Like, I've developed lactose intolerance, so it pains my heart. But they got pills for that, so still love pizza. And pupusas also have cheese, but like, I will eat them. I don't care. Yeah. But I think, yeah, those are, I think pupusas and sushi are two of like my favorite foods. Like, I can eat those once or twice a week and not be tired of them. Yeah.
All right. One sentence message that you would give as advice to all Minervans.
One sentence advice. Community is a form of self-care, comma, find the balance between you time and being with people. Yeah. Yeah.
I like that. We're in BA. What how would you sum up your feelings about this city in three words?
Three words, oh man.
Yeah.
Gorgeous, friendly, delicious.
Delicious. Man, yeah. It's delicious.
I don't think I've eaten anything bad since I've been here.
Because you're an artist, I'm going to switch it up a little.
Uh-oh.
And got a beat here. So if you're up for it, let's do a little freestyle.
A little freestyle. Let's do it. Okay.
Okay. Give it a shot.
Oh, I love the guitar. It seems fitting to be in BA for this one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, here we go. What am I gonna say? I'm just kicking it in BA. All the way up in the clouds. I'm 38 floors up above the ground. We work out as far in the background. I'm just thinking about what I'm gonna say next. Man, I feel so blessed. I can't believe I got here with no stress. The flight was smooth. I had to hit the snooze so I can move like I do when I move to a new place. New grace. Yeah, I got a little bit of an older face than I might have had 10 years ago. But everything I do is for the flow, and it's for the gold. Not the gold or the money, but the gold of my soul. And it's feeling kind of funny when I'm feeling like I'm bold. But sometimes I'm old like a turtle, and sometimes I move like a squirtle, and sometimes I think I don't know what the land could be if we go back to the roots we used to leave. And I think about all the leaves of the trees when they fall in the fall time. And they come back around when it springs, cause we bloom and we do what we do, cause we come for the noon. If you don't know, that's some Egyptian ancient stuff. I gotta go and feel like I'm a little buff. I'm a skinny dude though, so I have the flow. And this is the goal that I put from soul to the globe. Yeah, that was quick and kinda weird, but here I am again. And I come back, hit you with a stick cause I'm fast. Like it's baseball, but I got a blast like Jimmy Neutron when I shoot the three. Maybe like Curry from the SFC, it's what I do. I'm not in no hurry to get where I got to go, but I'll cut it right there. Yeah.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah. That was not bad. Incredible. That was not bad. That was not bad. For my first freestyle in a while, that was not bad. Yeah.
Man. This is great.
Yeah, no, this was awesome.
I really enjoyed talking to you.
Not only was this was like a cool conversation, but like, I mean, look at our view, bro. Like I said, yeah. Man, 38 floors up from the ground. Like, this is, this is unreal.
I mean, yeah, it's like I work here every single day. I just get to stare.
Right, man, stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, thank you for being on and sharing your story. I'm excited to go back to San Francisco so I can experience that with you more.
Yeah. No, yeah, thanks for having me on. Managing the SI system is awesome to see, like, these little pockets of just passion, right? Y'all are doing this because people have stories to tell and you want them to be told. So, yeah, M25, when y'all come back to SF, like, if I'm not obsolete in my role yet, you know, I'll be there planning all your graduation shenanigans. Whenever you're back in the city or I'm back in BA, man, let's keep connected because, yeah, you're doing awesome work and it's just awesome to be a part of this and have dope conversations with dope people. Yeah.
Thank you.
Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and automatically get notified about new episodes on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at humansofminerva.podcast for all the latest updates and announcements. Finally, special thanks to Cassandra Cruz for editing this episode. Thanks for listening to Humans of Minerva.